Project's sort of been in an operation of sorts for about 3 years. And when we started, I was recovering from being in a joke band. So like everything that eventually becomes a full giant focus of at least my life, it started out as a joke. And then I started, you know, I started to decide that it was going to be more of a serious thing. It was originally called Romac and the Space Pirates from Guam.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just from Guam seemed appropriate, but anyway, and then I started you know, writing, getting all these ideas and writing all these notes and drawing all these pictures about sort of a fantasy band and sort of where I wanted to take it and what I wanted to do with it. So, and finally, after a million failures, it's the project is like underway. So it's been, you know, in operation for about that long. That was its conception. Depends. I mean, there's a big controversial sort of thing about like where conception is or something. So that's up to the listener to decide.
When does consciousness enter the fetus?
Exactly.
Okay. So are you guys like all the original members?
Not exactly.
Has it been changing a lot?
You know, I'm not going to say the important members, because there's definitely people who have been with us that are going to be missed and were really cool, but a lot of the past members we've had in the past just aren't really necessarily worth mentioning. Like, I almost feel like it would be degrading to the band members in the band right now if I considered the people that were their predecessors to be especially important. Not to say that there haven't been some good ones, but someone said recently that a lot of people enter and leave the League of Extraordinary Space Pirates.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just saying, you know, long story short, there's been a lot of people, these, you know. But I'm hoping that we don't continue that trend. I'm not like crazy. I don't kill people. I don't kick people out all the time. It really wasn't my fault. For the record, I'm saying I'm not some crazy diva tyrant. I'm not, you know, I'm not Axl Rose or anything. I swear. It's not my fault. I want it to be, you know, a functioning band, not like something where I can kick people out all the time. So I think I want to clear up that that's not really the type of thing it is. I think a lot of people get that impression just because people who have been following the band for a while have seen a lot of people come and go.
Right.
It's just bad luck. It's not my fault. It has absolutely no reflection on me at all.
Okay, but like the threesome, is that a dynamic that works really well for you guys?
It's been working. I mean, we're working on a record right now and we're putting everything together and we're really experimenting with a lot of different things. We've been playing with a drum machine lately, all program drums, but. And in the past, we've had a live drummer for a long time, and we've sort of reintegrated a lot of different things into our songs and reworked them, which has been a nice experience, but we're going to be reintroducing a live drummer, so it'll be a four-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say exactly when. Sometime after the record's done. It's not going to be three people forever.
Right. Do you have an idea when your record's going to be done?
Oh my God.
Yesterday, it's a big project.
It's a really big project. I mean, and we're just taking baby steps with it. Which isn't to say that we're being lazy, but we're it's very daunting to do, and you sort of have to kind of make it fun. Yesterday there was a bedpost in a room.
And kittens.
So we recorded some sounds just, you know, messing and making noise with the bedpost to put in, you know, tentatively on the record somewhere. We don't even know. But it was fun. I played a bedpost with a pair of scissors, a knife, and two cats.
Oh my, two cats?
Yeah, two cats.
What were you doing to the cats?
The cats were playing on the bedpost. I didn't stab them or anything.
They were attacking the equipment.
They were attacking
actually.
The equipment the whole time, so they added a bit to the sonic element. One of Taylor's roommates, who was there while we were recording this bedpost thing, had to grab one of the cats at the end of the take and sort of take it out of the room and have it stop bothering us. So you can hear it at the end. You can hear Taylor's roommate at the end of the take go, "No!" to the kittens. So
no.
I think we're going to keep that. Maybe we'll feature it as a sample of sorts.
Maybe like loop it constantly. Like over
just
and over.
Just over all of the songs.
No. No.
No.
Yeah.
So have you been treating this your latest record different than past EPs that you've put out?
Definitely. Our first EP that we did, The Long Walk, was almost done by accident. There was a big change of plans, and so we sort of did it as a thing on the side. It was sort of its own side thing. But Attack of the Has-Been Androids, what the record's going to be called, is like kind of like the band's opus. Like, so much of the material that's going to be on it, I mean, we have new material mixed in, but a lot of the stuff we're putting in on it is ancient. Mm-hmm. Stuff we wrote seemingly eons ago that we've just been, you know, making this huge, giant, monster album concept album, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely important for us. It's a lot of songs we've been playing for a really long time, and we just want them to be, you know, as we feel they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking it pretty seriously.
Yeah. Well, I really can't wait for it to come out.
Thank you. Cool.
I have your last two on my iPod, and I listen to them constantly.
Thank you. Cool. Glad you like it.
Yeah.
So you guys seem to use MySpace a lot as a form of promotion and advertisement. So how do you feel about it in general? Like, do you think it's been positive for your band or negative?
You know, it's done a lot.
It's just kind of there.
It's MySpace has done. I mean, as much as there's so much about MySpace that everyone can criticize and everyone likes to poke fun at it just because it's been such a huge venue and catalyst for a lot of just, I guess, dumb
addiction things.
And yeah, you know, addiction, social decay, things like that. But you know, we can't dock it too much because it's really been such a great tool for us, and just, you know, a great. We've come in contact with so many people, and we planned entire tours just through MySpace, and
they worked out.
And they worked out. And
MySpace is awesome for finding new music.
Yeah, and I found some really, really great music from bands I wouldn't have had. You know,
yeah,
the
I found
opportunity.
You guys on there.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody's on there, so it's like super.
It brings people together. I think if you're on it too much, because there's just so much stuff, you can get really desensitized and disenchanted. So it's good to take a break from it sometimes, a little bit. We don't really have that luxury because we have a lot to do. But you know, MySpace has been really good. I think any band that doesn't at least have a MySpace. Almost now. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous to some people to say, but it's kind of like you're not a band if you don't have a MySpace.
Yeah.
Like, you should have a MySpace before you have songs, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a new medium for the future.
Okay, so I think I might have been reading your blogs somewhere or bulletins, but you mentioned a Squid Boy a lot. Is that an alter ego, or do you use it when you perform and write songs, or how does that play into...
Definitely. I sort of play a lot of characters, but there is a set story that I've been working on bit by bit that goes along with the record. And the protagonist of that story is Squid Boy. And Squid Boy, basically the whole record is about the life, death, reincarnation, and film career of a giant squid who is reincarnated as a young man in Hollywood, in early Hollywood, when film was really first starting to bud and grow. And there's a lot of parallels. It's definitely very autobiographical, and when we perform, I mostly play that character, but it's almost sort of just more of a uncensored version of myself than it is a character. He isn't very, I mean, he is, but he's not as contrived as I think a lot of people may think that he would have to be. It's very natural
right.
for me to be that character, so.
So do you just find yourself kind of falling into that?
I do, you know, and there's always going to be a different personification of, you know, different sides of myself that go along with different records, depending on the time when it's applicable. And I think that at this time in, you know, with the band and this time in my life, Squid Boy is really, the whole story with him and everything like that sums it up. So, I don't have to try very hard. I'm not trying to make myself seem like I'm some great character actor, mm-hmm. because, it's not really that way. It's almost candid, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. So you guys were recently on the Dr. Phil show.
Is that right? Yeah. You know,
were you guests or in the audience?
We were in the audience. Yeah. We've started, it's actually been, well, it's been half working out. We've started being audience hoppers to sort of sneak our way into people's general consciousness so they can see our faces in the audience at as many shows as possible and be like, who are those weird people who are in the audience of like every show? So we did Dr. Phil, and that was really cool. I was afraid they were gonna kick us out
because really?
Of the way we looked when we got there, but they were really nice. I mean, we were the only people there who weren't like mothers, aunts, you know, first like, and so we definitely stuck out, so hopefully they'll show us. The season starts with the episode. I don't know when the episode's going to air, but that Dr. Phil season starts the 18th of this month.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I encourage everyone to look out for us and maybe, like, TiVo it and put a clip on YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah.
But
the episode on meddling mother-in-laws.
On meddling mother-in-laws. It was actually, the taping was really boring. It
really?
Was kind of difficult to sit through. I was hoping Dr. Phil was going to tell people, like, shut up and, like, you know, do his Dr. Phil thing. But if every episode of season 5 is like that, season uh-huh. 5 is going to suck. Because
hardcore.
That was really boring. But, and then we did the Ellen show.
Oh, really?
But it was a total failure, you know. We got there early, you know. I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning to go to Burbank, you know, from Orange County and do all this stuff. And I only recently started driving the freeway.
Uh-huh.
I've been sort of trying to get over a fear of driving that I have. And so it was terrible. I mean, it was just Taylor and I, and Taylor doesn't drive.
Either.
He doesn't have a driver's license for, you know, the same reasons. So we were like, oh my God, where are we going? Oh no, we missed the exit. Oh no, we're lost. Oh no, we can't find parking. So for all those reasons, even though, you know, we tried to play our cards right, we didn't end up getting in time for will call, and we ended up in the riffraff room.
Oh no.
And we were hoping that, you know, they were going to show us or Ellen was going to run out, but no,
dancing.
It was like we were trapped in this little room while all the, you know, everything was going on. So we didn't get to see K-Fed, who was the guest. We didn't get to see Ellen or The Rock or Lance Armstrong.
Uh-huh.
It would have been a real, you know.
We were separated by a curtain.
It was really sad, actually. Man. It was kind of a downer. But hopefully, I really want to be on the Maury Povich show. Hopefully as a guest and not just an audience member. Because Maury Povich is, I think, the best show.
Yeah.
On in terms of talk shows on television right now. He's really the new Jerry Springer, because everyone knows what to expect from Jerry Springer, and Maury Povich is becoming more and more just trashy. So yeah. I really like Maury. He's cool.
Yeah, I was addicted to his show when I was in middle school. That's all I would watch. So in terms of a future, how big do you want your band to get? Like, do you see yourself playing huge stadiums and going on tours and buses across the nation?
You know, I mean, I think that for what we're doing and the type of show we're trying to put on, it's so hard being at the completely DIY level that we are right now and trying to put on consistently like a production when we perform, you know, not just with our costumes and stuff, but with you know, just different props and different stunts we want to incorporate. And I think that we would be best experienced on a big stage if we had all the resources. And the couple of times we've had the opportunity to play a bit bigger shows, I think it's been really
awesome.
I think it's just been more conducive to the experience. So I would see, I want, I've always wanted us to just break in, because I don't think there's really been an artist that has really broken into a huge pop culture level and done it on their own terms in a while, you know, in a few years at least. And so I'm kind of hoping that that is our future, especially when you consider how much we've struggled. It would be so nice to not have to worry about all the little things and be able to just make our art as big of a production as we want. And I'm not talking about, you know, cheesy fireworks or like a giant Satan or anything like that. You know, that's not, it would be very, you know, I think we would, if we had all these resources, we would use them, you know, in a good way, artistically, and in good taste too, I think.
Giant Satan.
And, you know, but so, and also fame is such a huge thing that I've always been obsessed with since I was, you know, just a wee boy, just because conceptually it's such a strange idea. And so much of our music and so much of the story deals with fame and what fame means to different people. So it's kind of like, I kind of almost feel
ironic.
I want to, you know, be able to experience it and see it from that inside perspective now that, you know, we've written so much stuff from the outside perspective. And I'm not afraid of that. I think that would be a really cool thing to be able to embrace and just observe everything through.
So
it's kind of
like,
it's kind of like the people, you know, who write love songs but have never been in love. It's just, you know, I mean, we don't write love songs really at all. So I just think it would be nice to be able to generate, have all that energy generate to us in a positive way instead of a negative way, and instead of having people, you know, think we're lame because we want to get on television and we try and do it in sneaky ways.
So you'd totally be okay if you just woke up and were on like VH1's Behind the Music or...
Oh yeah, I mean, and then like, and also, you know, of course,
make
behind
an
the
interesting
music,
show.
We would make really
good
interesting
television,
really good television. I'm just going to say, I hope, you know, we have that opportunity, because television should have us. Television's pretty interesting right now, actually. So I think we would fit well into the mix.
So are there any bands right now, or kind of genres of music, like where music's headed, that you're interested in, that you like to pick up on?
There's cool stuff. I mean, to be totally honest, I enjoy bands so much more when they're gone and are never coming back for some reason. All my favorite bands are bands that have long since broken up. I don't know why. But what do you guys like?
What's fantasy new? Metal.
Taylor
like
really
fantasy
likes fantasy
metal.
Well, if I listen to music, I usually listen to a lot of electronic stuff. Like one guy all by himself behind a laptop making stuff.
I've been really obsessed with Switchblade Symphony lately. They were a kind of electronic sort of goth type, you know, dark wave band from the 90s. And I don't even really listen to a lot of music that sounds like that much, but I find myself obsessed with Switchblade. So the plan is that, you know, I will make it cool to listen to them again, and they'll have to get back together and do a big reunion tour, and we'll be the opening act. Mm-hmm. That's my evil, extremely well thought out and practical plan.
You never know.
I guess.
Okay, so this question is just kind of for me personally. When I really got into your band, and I was listening to it a lot about a year ago, I was also semi-obsessed with Manhattan's Club Kids from the 80s, and I was watching a lot of documentaries on that and like home videos off of YouTube from it. So I was just wondering if any of you guys were interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, we follow some of the Club Kids. I mean, I take, you know, and we all definitely take the looks and the different using things like fashion and the way people look as a legitimate form of expression and not just solely a trend-to-trend type thing. And anyone who uses their appearance as art has always been interesting to me. I'm a really big fan of Lee Bowery. He was kind of part of that thing. And we follow them. I love Amanda Lepore. I think she's she's so great, you know. I love her song. I don't know much about clothes, but my hair looks fierce. And, you know, I admire anyone who really has a vision and transforms themselves and, you know, and lives a life that's conducive to that. So the Club Kids, you know, it's a cool thing. It's really interesting.
How do you feel about whales, like, as an animal?
I just put a whale sticker on the back of my car.
They're cool.
They're cool. They still have their little, like, vestigial little, like, foot thing.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's the coolest
mammals.
The coolest feature.
Their hair. They're hairy.
On a whale. Yeah, whales are all right. I like giant squids better.
Yeah.
And they're mortal enemies, so that kind of
yeah. I have to be on the squid side.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of obligated.
Sperm whales are no good.
Okay, are there any slang terms that you guys find yourself using a lot?
Hella.
Hella's a big one currently.
Does pseudo count as slang?
I had never said hella until we did a couple tours up the, you know, up the coast, and we went up north. And I didn't know that the stereotype was true that everyone says hella up there. And I really like it. It's good. Hella, I make up a lot of words, like chocophonic, like sweet sounding. What do I say all the time? I'm really big on making names for people. I don't know if that's slang, but, you know, Taylor is Lorshin. Lorshin is a good name, and people with names like Stephanie that I know will become things like Storful Glacierina, stuff like that. So I guess that's the kind of slang I'm into.
I love slang.
Yeah.
Slang's amazing.
Yeah. Do you have any that you use a lot besides hella?
Well, I don't know. I kind of have turned things into slang, I guess. Like, I say Tron attached to everything, like say if I was talking like about Romac, like Romatron.
Or Tella. Tella is a really good prefix. Like, instead of t-shirt, Tron, my Tella shirt. You know?
Yeah.
Tella's good.
Oh yeah, I say the Izzy a lot. Like, I put the Iz into Wizard. Like that's Kazool or something.
You say Illin a lot.
Yeah, Illin.
And Land.
Land, yeah.
Land, machine.
Like, land is a suffix.
Everything. Yeah, it's a suffix.
Go to car land.
What is your drink of choice?
Pretty much anything with vodka as a staple, usually vodka and Diet Coke, even though everyone says that's gross, is my big thing. Or there's a really cool energy drink that's Balls, BAWLS. And I think they're starting to really get, like, distributed on a large scale. So sugar-free Balls, tasty Balls. There's so many places you could go with it, but sugar-free Balls and vodka would be good.
It's truly called that.
Absinthe is nice on occasion, but usually vodka for me.
Water. I love ice water.
I don't know.
I like tea. All sorts of different kinds of tea, especially black licorice tea is really good.
Oh, you guys make me look like the alcoholic. God.
We're coffee fiends.
Yeah, we drink coffee a lot. We're big on
coffee. Like, nonstop.
Caffeine,
all day.
Disaster.
Oh, it's so good.
We're spastic, high energy caffeine people.
All right, my last one is, how do you feel about eyeliner?
Oh, it's awesome.
You utilize it.
If you use it correctly, I think, I mean, I do makeup, and some people have said that I'm a makeup elitist. I've seen eyeliner used really poorly by the wrong people, so I have mixed feelings. I think, you know, especially to compliment, you know, I like just makeup in general, you know, if it's used properly. I think a lot of people who are wearing eyeliner and the way they're wearing it now, I'm not going to name any names, are probably just shouldn't be wearing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big trend.
It's a big thing right now, yeah.
Like bands.
Which is why I've kind of moved into, like, you know, things that, like, wearing, you know, things that nobody likes, like orange lipstick.
Shaved eyebrows.
Yeah, shaved eyebrows, blue eyebrows. I have black ones today, actually, but usually mine are blue.
Yeah, I know. I was a little disappointed.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm
Some
kidding.
Part of your heart died inside. When you saw the black instead of the blue.
Yeah, Romac didn't have blue eyebrows.
What?
The world is not as cool of a place.
Okay, well, is there anything you guys would like to say to fans or anyone who's listening to this, just to wrap it up?
Yay!
Hi, Mom.
Don't stay in school. Education is a total failure.
Okay.
No, okay. I don't want to be responsible for, like, the dropout rate increasing. Or maybe I do. I don't know. Use your own discretion when it comes to school. How about that? Is that good advice? Is that even advice?
Sure.
And if you're in college, take classes that you like.
And use Rate My Professor.
Good idea.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.